Welcome to our show, Geeks Wired Podcast, where we talk about video games, movies, TV, comic books, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And I'm your host, Bill. And this week, we have Anthony.
Hello.
Hi. You can contact us by emailing us at geeksawired@gmail.com or send us a phone call, voicemail, text message to 801-896-GEEK. It's also 801-896-4335. You also can help support us at patreon.com/geeksawired, where you can get access to the podcast early. You also can get access to the secret episode of Geeks Are Wireless. I know. So with that, Anthony, really, really cool things that's been going on this week and is still going on this week. Have you been paying attention to the Mac news?
I actually kind of forgot that it was happening this week until I saw my YouTube feed explode. And they have announced some pretty interesting things. So yes. iOS 14 is, you know, the new iOS version is always something that's interesting, and they've added in some things that Android's had forever. They've also added in some interesting stuff that Android hasn't had. So like one of them is you can make in the accessibility settings, there's a way to, like, if you double tap or triple tap on the back of your phone after about half a second or so, it'll actually trigger something that you set up. So what someone on YouTube did was they set up a triple tap to trigger a shortcut that opened up the Google Assistant.
Which, and something else also, everyone was talking, I was like, oh, this is really, really cool. You could now change what your automatic browser is. And I was like, I thought you could.
No.
Was I just like crazy? Or is the iPad different from the phone that much?
No, I don't think you can on the iPad either. It's just a lot of apps will support opening it up in Firefox or Chrome.
Okay.
The only time that an app, like a link, opens up in Safari for me is whenever I open up something like within my Messages app or something else, because that's the default thing. And for email, whenever you send a new email message, it just automatically always opens up the normal mail app, unless the share, like you can use, like with the share icon, you can open up. You can open it up with anything you want, really. So as long as the app supports the share functionality.
So the browser, I stuck with Apple, but the email, I went to Outlook, and maybe I've just been, you know, using the Outlook so much on its own that I happened that I didn't notice that.
Like, it's, in all honesty, it's like, I also, the only thing I use my stock mail app for is my work email. My iCloud stuff is in there too, but no, I don't use it, and I don't get any messages on it. And the only reason why I use the stock one is just because it automatically just gets your calendar in there, and then I can just disable all the notifications for my mail app. And then I have Gmail, which will actually send me notifications for the email account I actually care about. So, but for my browser, I do use, I used to use Chrome, but I switched to Firefox, which, fun fact, on iOS, even though you can have different browsers, the engine's always going to be WebKit, which for Chrome and Safari is normal. Like, that's what they use anyways. But for Firefox, actually, on desktop, they use like a engine called Gecko or something. Mm-hmm. Whereas on iOS, they have to use WebKit. So that was interesting for me to find out. That was not brought up at all in this. It's just a tangent, fun fact, whatever. So,
and there's still a lot of stuff they're even talking about still throughout the week.
Like what?
Let's see, what the, well, there's still conferences going on, so that's one thing. So they're still adding little bits here and there. They ended up, what was it? They talked about the podcast app a little bit more, where it can, you don't have to subscribe to podcasts like Castro does.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know they were revamping that. I mean, it makes sense. I don't think they've touched it in years, so.
Well, they were number one for so long, and by doing nothing, they are slowly... They're not number one by 90% anymore.
Yeah. And honestly, for me, since I don't listen to a whole lot of podcasts, the app works fine, but...
Yeah, I listen to podcasts, and I like them in a certain order. I like to listen to them in particular orders. And yes, I have lots of podcasts.
So you might actually like, I think Spotify, you can set up your daily drive to include. I know it has podcasts in it. What I don't know is whether you can select what podcast it plays.
See, that matters to me a lot.
I know. It would matter to me a lot, too. I'm not going to listen to some random bloke.
Well, the idea behind these podcast apps having the randomness or having... is that you listen to these podcasts, you know, give them thumbs up or you give them ratings, or the fact that you listen to them or this style of podcast means that, hey, you would like these podcasts as well. Get that? That makes sense. There's probably other podcasts out there that I would also enjoy or that I may enjoy more. Because all my podcasts that I've listened to either have been some random search that I've stumbled across, or they were recommended by another podcast that I listened to.
Yeah, most of my podcasts came from you. There's been like one that I've listened, like found out on my own. So that's a thing. What else have they come up with besides the one thing that I'm leaving till towards the end? Well, towards the end of our discussing this event.
Let's see. Is what you're leaving, is that in the show notes?
Yeah, it's the thing that I put on there.
Okay.
Well, actually, no, that includes two things. They're both related to the first word on that card, though.
Okay. Then the other thing is the rumors that you kept on going are, you know, there's no evidence.
All right, cool. You're going into the thing. That's okay.
Not your thing. You didn't... No. Your thing's not... What I'm going to say is not in the show notes.
Okay. We'll see. Just go ahead and say it.
Arm.
Yeah. I said it had to do with the first word. Mac. Okay, the first half of the word. But that's okay.
Mac and arm?
Yeah,
oh,
well...
Oh, I see. The arm Mac chips? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, yeah, because... Yeah, anyways... They finally, well, they, yeah, you go ahead. I'll just chime in.
No, go ahead.
I'm just, my words are not here with me right now.
All right. So the good news about these is that they're making chips that ARM chips can be very specialized and they can use less power, get better, beefier performance. And that is what Apple is getting made. They're getting made for their devices even more than Intel was.
Yeah, and the reason why they can be made specialized is that, so ARM is more of a idea. Like, it's just an architecture. You don't necessarily buy directly from ARM. You can design your own. And that's what Apple's done with the iPad, I think the Apple TV now, and the Apple Watch. And I think even the new AirPods, the second gen AirPods and then the AirPods Pro, I think those have their own knitting chip. I don't know, but like Apple has been doing their own chips for a while. And I was saying over and over again that I didn't think this was a good idea because it would like kind of cripple their performance. But I watched a video whenever this was unveiled, and it kind of brought up the point that, like what I just said earlier, was that they Like, they don't have to be slow. They can be designed to be more power hungry.
Yeah.
And so, like, they can be more power hungry, but still be more efficient. So, like, more efficient than a standard desktop processor. And they have said that they'll keep using Intel for a bit, and they even have products for Intel Max, but they said this whenever they switched from PowerPC to Intel, so...
Going to want to buy those now that the new stuff's coming out?
For the first little bit, people still will, just because, like, you don't want to buy the first generation of anything, really. Like, that goes with, like, a car, goes with the AirPods, even.
A lot of Apple. Apple has hit that many times, yes.
Yeah, so, well, I think, depending on what they come out with towards the end of the fall, I might get it, just to see how it is, because I am actually really curious. There's a lot of speculation that it'll be a Mac Mini, just because that's what the dev kit is a Mac Mini, which makes sense. And for me, that would make the be well besides a laptop, because I kind of do need a new laptop because my model is 5 years old. But so that'll be interesting, and I think kind of cool. Oh, and I was also kind of worried about another reason why for performance that I was worried about was, usually when they switch from one architecture to another, they have a way to run apps on both of them. Mm-hmm. And in PowerPC days, they used a layer called Rosetta. And so as long as the app was compiled with that, it was what was called a universal app, and it would work on both PowerPC and Intel. And for the most part, the performance was basically the same on both. For the most part, like I said. But for this next round, they're doing the same thing. They're using an app called Rosetta 2. And the developers just have to... Actually, I've heard conflicting information on whether or not you have to actually recompile the app or not, because I've heard from some people that you just install it and it'll just compile it for you like that, like as you're installing the app. But then I've kind of heard from other people, and this one makes more sense to me, is that the developers they'll have to recompile their apps to be universal. But the reason why I was kind of not sure about the performance for that is that if they were just wanting to emulate the x86 code, which if they didn't want to build a layer at all or build this Rosetta thing at all, that's what they would have had to do. It's emulating x86 on ARM has typically not been great, like performance wise. It can do it, but it's not going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact that they have this little translation layer in the middle is probably a good thing. Kind of wondering how much money the new ARM stuff will be, if it'll be the same price. Well, within the same price range as their existing stuff, or if it'll be cheaper or not.
So, what I thought we're going with your show notes, I thought we're more going towards the iPad version of the Mac.
Say that again. Your
iPadification of the Mac.
Oh, yeah, and so with the thing that I have on there, it was more just towards the end of that. They are, one sec, I need to mute my watch because it's just going nuts right now. Someone is just wanting to really, really get a hold of me. Okay, is the fact that Mac OS X has been around since the early 2000s, if not, was it out before 2000? I'm going to look it up real quick, but it's been out for a long time. And I have said in the past that they'll probably stay on version 10 forever, just like Windows is staying on version 10 forever. But they're actually canning it. And, well, not, they're just moving on to a new version, which is 11. And in this case, it's not necessarily a, like when they went from 9 to 10, they changed a lot. Like, they went from their own, like 100% their own code or nearly their own code to having a Unix-based OS. Because I think they're based off of BSD. But anyways, they're... So the new 11 is still going to be based off of... Like, it's the same system. It's just a UI upgrade, basically. There's other features and stuff involved, but it's just not as new or anything like that. Basically, your old stuff will still, for the most part, work on the new stuff. And that was true when they went from 9 to 10, but you had to basically run an OS 9 VM in the background to run your classic apps, which wasn't really that big of a deal back then just because OS 9 didn't really take a lot of hardware resources, but still. The fact that you won't have to do that this time is probably a little better, but... So, I'm not sure what's going on, but I can't, like, I've been hearing just little tiny sound bites from you.
All right, let's try really quick.
Okay. Like, it's like staticky almost.
And we're hoping technical difficulties are fixed.
Yeah, hopefully. So while I was waiting on that, I looked up on Wikipedia when macOS 10 came out. It was released on March 24th, 2001. So 19 years ago. It's been around for a hot minute. So... the fact that they're moving on to something new is kind of interesting.
20 years later.
Yeah, and like you brought up, they're basically iPadification the OS, which is kind of weird since they still don't want to put touchscreens on them. And the way that they've, like, they basically added it, and like, you know how if you, with your fingers, you go on the top right and pull down, it brings up this action menu, action interface. They've added that into OS 11, but it's kind of not, there's no clear way to go backwards. So it's just kind of weird. And the way it's designed looks exactly like the iPad one. So without a touchscreen, it's just kind of a weird interface.
I'm gonna try something.
Okay.
So with the iPadification of everything, that's kind of, yeah, because it's, you're having a big old computer with the iPad, and then there's even with the, they're trying to like make the, there's the talk of making the iPad try to be the more of a computer or put all these iPad apps on the computer. And I, some people are like, I like my devices separate. I'm old school. Well, I'm kind of, I don't mind the iPad ever becoming a computer. They just, because the iPad, our tablets and our, even our phones are powerful compared to even computers. They just need better apps or better OS to run these massive things.
Yeah. And I agree. I'm kind of mixed on whether I want the Mac actually to run the apps. When I first heard about it, I was kind of somewhat excited about it, but at the same time, like, they're designed to be used with a touch interface, and while it'll work with what Apple has come up with, not everything's going to work out well.
Yeah, especially like multi-touch. You can set like right tap to be the hold and touch.
Yeah, and like your general, like your standard apps for like your typing apps, even like your browsers and stuff would work, but not anything more than that. I guess a nice thing about it would be that, and if the developer allows this, is that instead of having to buy a subscription for both the desktop and the mobile, you could theoretically get by with just the mobile stuff, though it might be more limited. And in some ways, and in other ways, it might give you more freedom, because the desktop apps sometimes on for certain services is worse than the mobile one.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be kind of an interesting mixed bag. But they had that. I think with the iPad Pro, there is enough like software on it where you could use it as just a replacement for your laptop, because they do have like video editing suites and stuff on there. But the main issue with all that is just that it's just right now, since it's locked down, it's just a little too limiting.
Well, yeah, yes, you can do quite a few things. You can edit software, but or edit photos and videos, but the software editing or the video and photo editing is still not the what you find on a computer, whether it's Apple or Windows. It's not full Adobe for a lot of these. Sometimes they're just that you kind of have to even step away from Adobe to get certain things, or you have to download like 10 different Adobe apps.
Yeah.
To get work. And then there's the, the software for like Excel. If you want, you can't. What is on the tablet is not what is on the computer. You get way more benefits on the computer than you do on the tablet.
Yeah, because the tablet is more locked down. And can the tablet even run like the Visual Basic macros that are embedded in a lot of Excel files?
Well, considering the fact that the iPad Pro entered into a realm of laptop size, Microsoft actually initially like dinged them for it, going like, your tablet's too big. You have to have a subscription to use it on.
Oh, yeah.
They've obviously been wishy-washy about that type of stuff, but the fact that they said your tablet size got so big, you have to have a subscription. If you have a subscription, might as well give me the real version and not this tablet or browser version. So that's because I even sat down. I was like, I wanted to do things, and it just was painful enough. I can do a lot of things, but it's painful enough. Like, I actually could do more in the browser than I could do on the app.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really sad.
Yeah, and like you were saying, the tablet can do a lot of stuff that the laptop would be able to do. But if I had to pick, like, and I've been like this for a long time. Like, even when I got my Chromebook back in like 2012, 2013, or whatever it was when I bought one, I got it specifically because I wanted the keyboard.
Yeah,
I didn't want the touch. Like, the touch interface is cool, and like, they've come a long way in the past couple of years, and the fact that you can get really nice keyboards to go with the tablet is also kind of a plus. But I don't know, at the same time, like, I just feel like I can multitasking on a laptop is just way better, and it's not just because you can have the windows any size you want. It's just more that if I need to go over to this other workspace, I just have to do the gesture on my touchpad and go over there, like on my trackpad, and I'm there. Or need to switch to an app that's in the background instead of having to like double click, or if you don't have a home button, like swipe up or whatever to get to the app drawer, scroll over to find the app and then click on it. And on a laptop, you just go either Alt Tab or Command Tab until you find the app that you want, which is way faster in my opinion.
Well, you can also do and that, especially with Windows and Mac, you can take your four fingers and swipe up on the mouse pad on.
So is that standard on Windows?
Yeah, actually, somebody was mentioning it on Mac, and I was like, huh. And I ended up doing it on my Windows 10. I was like, yep,
so
still works.
Are you sure that you don't have, like, what kind of, is that a Dell or a Lenovo?
It's an Acer.
Oh, okay. So you probably have some software on there with the gestures being programmed in. And so they're able, like, it supports all that stuff. It's just not, I don't know that it's Windows actually saying, hey, these things are just standard in here.
It uses the same, let's see, is it Windows tab? Is that what I did? Yeah, it's, so the four fingers up uses the same thing as Windows tab.
Oh, I know, does. But what I'm saying is that the thing making, like, the fact that the gesture's triggering that might not be Windows triggering it. It might be your trackpad software actually picking it up and then making the action happen. Just because I know that Windows, like, the only thing I think they have built in that I know of at least is the maybe possibly two-finger right click and then the scrolling with two fingers. And that's only if your touch or your trackpad supports it, which any, like, I think any trackpad built within the last like 4 to 5 years probably has it, unless it's super cheap. But
oh, this is from Microsoft's website. Switch virtual desktops. Place four fingers on the touchpad and swipe right or left. Open Action Center. Tap four fingers on the touchpad.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Yeah, this is a Windows 10 feature.
Because I know forever that you could do that in like 7 and 8, but you had to have third-party software to do it.
They built it in. Finally.
And it was kind of hit or miss on whether it worked.
And this is from Microsoft's website as of November last year.
Okay, well, that's good. But anyway, yeah. Just, I think, especially for power users, I don't know that the laptop's going away unless they do some interesting stuff to the tablet space. Like to how tablets work. Like if they could ever get into the point where like air-based gestures are, they work and they work reliably, then maybe that might help. That might be a thing that would.
So the tablet, you can, so the pros obviously have the bar at the bottom. But you also can take your four fingers and swipe to the side, even if you don't have the bar, and it will swipe between your apps. Or you can take all five fingers and crunch them down, and you open up all of, or you get a command view, I guess, of all of your open apps.
Hmm. Is that only on the Pro or the normal iPad?
It's on the normal iPad. I do have issues with it usually when an app is open. I usually have better luck on the home screen.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense, because the app might be slightly overriding it for a second and then the OS takes over or something. But yeah, and then I know you can be a power user on a tablet. It's just, and maybe if I took the time and actually sat down and learned how to do all this stuff and just like make it to where it's like second nature to me. Like for me, it's just that I have all this muscle memory built in for how a keyboard and trackpad work. Whereas with a tablet, you basically just have the trackpad. A much bigger trackpad, but it's still just a trackpad.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And yeah, it is to get all the gestures down, you have to look them up. They kind of like when you look up keyboard shortcuts.
Mm-hmm. And I still don't know enough keyboard shortcuts to be really, really, really a power user, but I know enough of them.
Whenever I want to do something, I usually look it up and then figure out that I either forgot it or it doesn't exist and I need to make it or figure out how to make it.
Mm-hmm.
For all the apps that I use. So, along with tablets, one of the big ones, well, for, I guess, iPad, you can't, to edit code to do software development, you have to get, what's it, code, what is Microsoft's coding?
Visual Studio Code.
Yeah, you have to get a subscription to their Visual Studio Online so you can go online and do Visual Studio Code.
So that's not the only way. There is a native way for the iPad, but it's just for you. It's basically Xcode, and it's only the Playpen version. So you can't like code on it, but you can test stuff out. Like if you had an, it's a scratch pad basically.
Oh.
And so if you're doing Xcode development, sure, that makes sense. Especially if you're just like, I don't know. I think it's more for people who are sitting in a place where they have like time to kill and they're just thinking about something and they come up with this little function or little algorithm that they think might be cool and they have time to like type it out just because they have nothing else to do. I think that's mostly what it's for. Just because like I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time. Like unless I have a keyboard hooked up to it, I would probably hardly ever use it. But so it's a thing. It's not the best thing. And you can't like be super productive with it, but it does exist.
It's definitely a lot of work. That's the nice thing about Visual Studio Code Spaces is that it sucks that you have to have an account or have to have a paid subscription to yet another Microsoft thing.
Mm-hmm.
But the ability to still have this option to do it, and it is Visual Studio, but you know, browser version, and it's a little more beefier than just like a Notepad++.
Yeah, and for personal projects or projects that are open source, that works. But if you have something that's closed source or something that your company does not want out on the internet, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Not gonna, you can't do that. Whereas with a normal laptop, you'd be able to run it. So, it's definitely got some downsides, but they have been opening up more, and as far as I know, like, Apple's still one of, like, there's not very many good Android tablets out there. I think the best ones might be the Samsung ones. And even then, like...
Oh, Android has stopped. Google's not making tablets anymore. Anybody else who keeps on trying to make tablets, Google's just like, you got Android. Have at it.
I knew they weren't making, like, first-party ones, but...
Yeah, they don't want it, but Amazon keeps on trying to, and Samsung keeps trying to.
Which is kind of interesting, because like if there's no real competitor in the tablet space, I wonder if they'll get hit with like I don't remember what that is.
Monopoly?
Well, I mean, there's a monopoly, but there's the anti-consumer. Yeah, that's it. I wonder if they'll get hit with an anti-consumer thing. Just because they know they're the only ones, and so they might take advantage of that in some way.
Well, Windows keeps on stepping into it. Because, well, Apple has been trying to get their iPad and their phone OS to integrate with their computer, which was weird their last year when they broke it into iPad OS, iOS, iPhone OS, even OS X. Like they broke into, like, we have the computer, we have the phone, we have the tablet. They will all be separate. We're not going to put them together. And now they're kind of like, we're all going to put them together back in the computer.
I think it's...
So they keep on trying to push everything to the computer.
I think it might be more to do with, like, because iPad OS is just iOS in all actuality, but it might be a way to make it to where features are, like, if you say there's this cool new feature in the iPad OS, you know that's probably just available to the iPad. Or if it's not available on, like if you try it on your iPhone or something, or your iPod Touch even, because those are still a thing. If you try it on there and it doesn't work, then you know that it's only available on iPad OS. And yeah, I don't know if that was the real reason, but that's a thing that makes sense to me. Because otherwise, yeah, they had no reason to do that. Because it's literally just iOS. Like, it's the same, yeah. It's the same code. But it might let them, like, I say it's the same code, but it might just be the same, like, base. And then the tablet probably has more stuff thrown in. Whereas before, the iPhone probably had to have that stuff. It just couldn't use it. And so maybe that's another reason why they did it. I don't know. I'm just throwing out guesses.
But well, the thing, yeah, they could be trying to break it apart, and that's why, or even like making things fit certain ways. But Apple keeps on trying to put everything from their phone to their tablet into their computer version, and Windows is trying to get their computer version down to their tablets.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, because Windows is a powerhouse, and that's a lot. Which, I don't know, maybe that I have a Dell tablet that actually works really, really well with Windows 10, but Microsoft needs to stop trying to make like these sub versions, you know, tablet versions of Windows, because they are just terrible.
Yeah, Windows S is what they have right now?
Is that the current one? I know there's Windows R. I hated that one. And that's the other thing, is that even with these like sub versions of Windows, you still get the option to upgrade it to the full version anyways, because that's what you really want.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know you had that ability.
There was these low-end computers that are coming out with the sub version, so it's like, oh, it's like a little bit better, but then you can't install EXE files. You can't install most printers. It's kind of, you're stuck to the App Store. Which Windows App Store is just not there, no matter how hard they try. Like, no one's writing stuff for it.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I've had some stuff get pushed to there, but, like, there was an app that someone sent to me today because they had an extra license for it, mm-hmm. which is actually really cool, by the way, but I don't even remember what it's called. Oh, it's called Taskbar X.
Oh, nice.
But anyways, where was I going with this?
Windows 10 App Store?
Yeah, so, I mean, I like the fact that they're, like, App Stores are a thing. It's just, because theoretically it means that it's a verified source, at least. Like, because a lot of the time when you try to download something off the internet, there's like 10 download buttons you have to figure out which one to press. And all of them don't work but one. And probably 8 of them will give you a virus.
Yeah, so. And that's where what Apple and Android are both being slapped with antitrust lawsuits or monopoly lawsuits because, oh, you can only be in the App Store and you're taking 30% of all the money when, you know, back before Apple and Android were pushing out that, you know, Verizon took like 70 and 90% to get an app onto their phones way back in the day. So they're way less. And at least I feel comfortable because there's the security behind a lot of this too. And what, you just expect to throw your thing on there and, oh, I'm just going to use your hardware and we're going to not have to worry about any worry of security, which means that people will be able to access my apps because they're installed on your device without any security features.
So
yeah, that's stupid.
Android's still getting hit with it?
They, right now, the EU is going after Apple, but Android has been hit with it, or Google's been hit with it before.
That's surprising because they have the ability for you to disable only going to the App Store.
That is, I think, what has saved them most of the time.
And Apple does technically too, though you have to develop it yourself.
Or you have to be part of the, you have to use the roundabout way of using the developer.
The test flight mode. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Which works. It's just they've been cracking down on that lately, which is good because there's some shady stuff that was going on.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can install all these app stores. You can even install apps on your Android. But I do have to admit, I like the security of the app store. And I've had other app stores on my Android, and some of them have also pushed out newer versions, but I do kind of question. I'm like, some of this is a little too open. Like, I'm not, at least Google kind of has this, even though they do what they can, obviously they're not perfect because there's constantly like, oh, these apps got leaked through and millions of downloads happened. Happens to Apple, it happens to Android, but it's still less, and at least there's, hey, we've identified something, we're going to try to resolve this, instead of the third-party app store where you're like, hey, we don't care, and you're just going to have fun with that.
Yeah. What other app stores did you have? Like, I thought the only, like, real... I say good, but the only real one that was, like, slightly good was the Amazon one.
There's Amazon's. And
like, that's the only other one I would probably even slightly consider trustworthy.
Let's see. What was the other one? F-Droid.
Really? Interesting.
Yes. I was playing out that one.
Like, what did that give you? Like, just having a different app store?
So the things were getting out. I actually found apps were updated faster, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that is weird.
I kind of also had this moment of, like, when I went to these other app stores, there was the moment of, I'm not sure how much I want Google to keep being so much on my phone. Yes, it is a Google phone, but you also can kind of like push back sometimes, like, okay, you don't get all of this access. You're going to kind of like run things, but my apps may be able to like kind of lock up themselves and not give you as much, or you don't know as much about my phones. And that with my worry about it, what is out there, it kind of was like, is this really worth it?
Like, worth getting the third-party app store?
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
I think I tried Aptoid.
Because I think for the most part, the APK is the same.
Yeah.
The only downside to that is that with those third-party sites, unless they have a really, really strict like verification process, it could be just some random person re-uploading an APK that has something malicious in it, and you wouldn't know.
That's what I was kind of worried about.
And that again, that happens on like the normal app store, but it's far less of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And at least they try to catch it.
Yeah. At least they try to catch it.
Yeah, or at least I feel they try to catch it.
So,
like some of these third parties, I don't know if they trust that they even try.
Yeah, and so like the Windows App Store, it's neat that it's a thing. And does the Windows App Store do auto-updating? Because I know Mac does.
Yes, actually the Windows App Store does better than... I had to deal with it with Power BI. Power BI, if you get the app from the App Store, it auto updates. Or if you get Power BI from the website, you have to manually update mm-hmm. it.
And at least on my work computer, I have it like manually installed, but that's just because for like a good 3 to 4 months, maybe 5, I couldn't get the Windows Store to work.
Oh.
So I had to just do it that way. But I got it to work today because I was able to install that Taskbar X thing, and I guess I may as well link it. We're not sponsored by them, by the way. If y'all listening are wondering. Basically, it's just like on a Mac, if you press Command Space, it brings up this little like search icon bar thing. It just basically adds that into Windows. Though I say that's just, it has a lot more. Like,
so is this it that I just linked in the show notes?
Oh, I was putting it in.
Oh, okay.
But
I know how you don't have your keyboard shortcut set up yet.
No, it's not just that. It's the fact that I'm on Firefox and there's no Trello extension.
Really? That's terrible.
You
should just come to Edge.
No, Microsoft's been trying to push that on me. I kind of refuse out of just spite right now.
Fine, then go to Brave.
No.
Why not? It's Brave. You should be Brave.
No. Because you have more problems with that app than with like Firefox. Because it'll be download you this app, this browser isn't supported. You have to use Chrome. This is Chrome.
I know. Well, that's why even the Zencaster recording was a pain in the butt.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it was like, we are locking you down. It's like, why?
Yeah. So back to the Taskbar X thing, just while we're here.
Is that the right link?
I think that's the exact one I was going to put, but let me click on it to make sure. Yeah, that's it.
Sweet.
So what it is like, there's a lot of plugins you can install. Like, right now I have the search one turned on, so if I just type G ? Anything I type in there will just open up a Google search. So that's kind of cool. There's just a lot of stuff you can do with it. And I'm thinking, like, it's so powerful that I'm kind of thinking about installing it on my Mac. Actually, is that Taskbar? No, I lied. Taskbar is this thing that lets, it basically just centers the icons on your Windows Taskbar.
I don't know if I like that.
It definitely takes some getting used to. The only reason why I like it is because lately I've been having a really hard time finding the stupid icon I want. And
you're gonna have to link that.
Yeah, I'll link it.
That's obviously way worse to search.
What?
Taskbar.
Oh. Now this other one is called shoot. That's
Bang.
Not giving me the
your installed apps.
No, this one's actually not on the App Store.
Oh.
It's one sec, it's refreshing indexes.
It's kind of like the fences and all that stuff.
Huh?
Fences. Fences is an app that you can use in Windows where your apps will stay in their certain locations.
Oh, okay. So, no, it's not like that.
Oh.
Actually, no, it's not like that. There is a couple of other programs that do that as well, though. But I found it's called Yuli. And I'm going to put it in the show notes.
Oh, right.
This one is, it's what I was talking about, the whole opening up the little search icon, and then you can just type stuff away. And another cool thing with it, I promise we're not sponsored.
Well, we've just ran through like three different ones. So,
well, it was three different ones, and I like, we're not sponsored because I was telling it on a different app completely.
So there you go.
Another cool thing is if you put in like simple calculations, like 2 + 2, it'll actually tell you it. You have to enable the plugin to do it, but it comes pre-installed with it. It's just not enabled by default. So, just cool little stuff. That's in the show notes, by the way, if you want to look at it.
So what is different from... Oh, this is on Mac. Well, it's on Windows.
No, it's too. On Windows, and I was actually thinking about installing it on my Mac just because it's the same thing, but it has a lot more functionality programmed into it.
So what's so special about Yuli versus what the start menu does?
So the start menu will just give you like files and
not always.
It gives you files and programs, and it'll even somewhat, like, especially if it's a Windows app, it'll like, especially the settings app, it'll kind of help you drill down into the settings faster.
You also can search off of it. You also can open, well, you can open any of the apps, whatever you have set as your default browser. It opens that up and starts searching through that.
Yeah.
Browser.
So, and I get that.
You can do math.
Yeah. So the nicer thing about it though is that there's more plugins, and there's this third party program that I've had installed forever. It's called Everything. And what it is if you just open it up, because when you first install it, it indexes your whole hard drive, well, whatever hard drive you tell it to, just to find all the file names. And then after that, it just sits and listens and uses the Windows API to just grab stuff as Windows is touching it. So it's pretty lightweight, but it's just... like, it's Windows search, but it's just instant because it's always looking, whereas the Windows search is kind of has a little bit of a lag time sometimes.
It only searches when you ask it to.
Yeah, and, like, Windows does have its own built-in indexer. It's just, it's not... I think the index process is good. It's just the thing searching isn't very fast. So, the reason why I bring that up is that this Yuli also has a third-party... or has a plugin into Everything, so when it's searching, it's actually, it can pick it up nearly as fast as Everything could.
Right.
So, and I was agreeing with you too with the whole, but the Windows thing can do that. But I kept seeing how one of my coworkers was using it a lot, and he was able to get like do stuff much quicker. So I decided to try it out, and yeah. Before we stop, do you want to talk about the streaming service that is dead or dying?
Zoom?
I mean, actually, I think they're rebounding again, but...
yeah, they're just not number one anymore. Yeah. They're not the winner of the... pandemic. Which streaming service? Oh, are you talking about Microsoft's?
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, which streaming service?
So,
yeah.
This is funny to me because it wasn't even a year ago that they were buying, like, literally poaching a bunch of Twitch streamers and actually paying them, like, what, thousands or millions of dollars to come onto their platform?
Yeah, they got Ninja, they got a few others.
And
so now these people... Oh, yeah, go ahead, continue.
I was just going to say, well, now they're shutting down, and they're moving over to Facebook, and a lot of them are, like, a lot of the streamers are very, very leery about doing that. And so a lot of them are just going back to Twitch. Which is just hilarious to me.
Yeah.
And I'm sure Twitch is just going to open them up to, like, just bring them back because... that's just more money for them, honestly. There might be a little bad blood between them, but it's not going to be enough to where they'll...
well, they did. Twitch did do some hokey things to some of these people's accounts.
Yeah.
When they left.
When they left, yeah. That's because they weren't getting any more money from them.
Yeah. And then, but they did some, like, super, like, hokey stuff that actually Amazon had to turn around and actually write apologies out.
What did they do? Because I haven't heard of that.
On Ninjas, they ended up, I think, let's see, was it? I want to say they actually started posting, like, pornography on it.
Fun.
Yeah, they did some, like, legally hokey stuff.
And so this probably wasn't Twitch proper. It was just some... developers probably just going nuts or something.
It was enough that Amazon wrote apologies.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if
they didn't get into who or what or how, the details behind it. I never heard anything about the details. And it may not have been pornography. It may have been something else.
Well, just something that wouldn't be normally streamed on that channel.
And something like, not even not normally streamed, but something like super not ethical, it felt like.
Yeah, so it's just interesting to me that this is happening. And it's, oh, what's also interesting is the way that most of these streamers found out. Most of them found out while they were streaming from their audience. or a lot of them did at least.
Oh, they Microsoft didn't
no.
tell anybody. No.
They just they I think they released an article and then that was them telling everybody. Which is just super good on their part.
So Ninja was paid $30 million to transfer over, and he so this ends his contract.
Mm-hmm.
But it does look like he is going. Ninja is going to go back to Twitch.
Yeah, I think most of them are. There's only a handful that are even considering Facebook, and it's not even that like private. Like privacy is a big thing just for like the Facebook thing, but it's also just more of the interface isn't near as good. And like streaming on it or chatting on it is just, it's just more clunky. Just because it's a social media platform that hasn't really been built around streaming. Whereas Twitch has always, always been streaming. So they're not trying to form into something that they weren't originally. So.
I was correct about that. So they were, so Twitch ended up streaming, live streaming adult content on his old channel. And they ended up promoting, or allegedly promoting, other streamers on his former channel.
The streamers thing, I could, yeah, it's a gray area, but it's less so. The first thing, though, yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it was probably like his account was probably not even like accessible to be logged in on, right? Because it was probably terminated.
I'm pretty sure he set it up to be terminated because he was rolling away. He was cutting ties with Twitch.
So it wouldn't even be someone who got access to his account. It'd have to be someone internally who did it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that's shady. But yeah, it's just hilarious to me that they're shutting down.
So it was put on as an offline page. So he didn't, I guess he didn't shut down an account. He just, like, turned off the page.
Hmm.
And then Amazon went in and did some hokey stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, because Amazon's the one that owns Twitch now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me actually throw that. So that's interesting. And I was going to look into Facebook gaming. It was like, because I like my mobile games. But yeah, I've not been hearing any good about it either.
Yeah, it's, I don't even know. Like, even if it was great, people probably still would complain about it just because it's Facebook. But I can't imagine it being great just because they, that's just not their market. They've been doing some, like, they have some live stream capabilities just because, like, they've had Facebook Live for, I don't even know how long now. It's a long time, though. But the chatting on that and just, like, interacting with the people was never, like, you're basically just in a chat room. You don't get any, like, nice things. Moderating it, I'm sure, is a nightmare. Whereas with Twitch, moderating it and just giving people stuff to post because they subscribed or whatever is just much, much easier. Twitch is still twitchy, yeah. But it's functions much better.
But this does also open, because now these people are not under a contract anymore. Technically, they're free agents.
Mm-hmm.
So anybody else that wants to pick up, and because Twitch isn't the only one out there. Neither is Facebook. There is plenty others that are out there, but they are definitely, you know, Twitch is definitely the big player. And it's really sad that, because I thought Mixer was starting to do really well. I'm really surprised that they're basically selling everything to Microsoft except for the technology that they used for Mixer. So they're just handing name rights, they're handing anybody that wants to just have their account automatically work over there over. But they're like, okay, we have the technology behind it for the streaming. Microsoft's keeping that. I was so sure that Microsoft was going to actually really challenge this, because Microsoft even has the servers over Amazon by so much.
Yeah, and I don't know. Especially if they were starting to do good. I'm kind of curious why they decided to throw in the towel. Maybe it was just taking way more money than they were expecting it would. Like, they were just way too far in the red for that one project. I mean, Microsoft has lots of money, yeah, but if it's just like, if this project is just 100% just a project that just eats money and it's not projected to do any better, then I could see them doing this, maybe. But
this is, that's why you have these big companies. Google and Apple and Amazon have done this type of stuff where they just throw money at something and then they just accept the loss.
Yeah.
Actually, Google makes money from advertising and they lose it on everything else. The search engine is a giant loss of money.
Yeah, and YouTube was for a long time too. Like, for most of its existence.
Actually, I think up until last year.
And it's been around since, what, 07?
Yes, for a really long time. That's why the original creator sold it. He's like, I'm not making anything off this. I'm out. Google, yeah, it's all yours.
Yeah, it just sounds like it wasn't growing to the scale that they thought it would. And I guess that's fair, but if there's going to be anybody that would actually, like, take on Twitch, it would have been them. And so now Twitch is just kind of, they're just the number one again. So, which isn't the worst thing, but it doesn't mean that they get to be comfortable. So they're not going to try to improve. Like, they'll still probably still do it. It's just not going to be as pressing. So,
yeah.
But yeah, reading the article, it does sound like that was Microsoft's thing. So they were either just going to have to throw much more money at it, or where was the rest of this? Yeah, it was just, yeah. I thought I knew more about this. Apparently, there's a lot in this article that I didn't know about.
Yeah. There's a lot going on with it, and it just kind of sucks.
Yeah, but it is what it is, and the only kind of bad thing about it is just that they didn't, it's just the way they announced the, just announced it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, not telling your, like, even if you gave them, like, a couple hours notice or an hour's notice, would have been better. But, yeah.
Or if they would have let them know first. You know, like, one of those little messages just to them. Just like, hey, guys, this is the thing that's happening.
Yeah, so maybe it was just a super, super instant decision that they weren't even really sure they were going to do. Honestly, it kind of seems like it.
All right. So we've been going actually long,
yeah,
on this. We are wrapping it up.
Okay.
Do you have any famous last words?
I can't remember the right phrase for this. Mac OS is dead. Long live Mac OS, whatever.
Not bad.
Yeah. It's better than my jokes that I've tried to say, so we'll call that one.
You mean like these? Like, well, did you hear about the guy who invented the lifesavers?
No.
They say he made a mint.